the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God will never change that for nobody, nowhere, at no time. Amen. And then the next verse says, by so much was Jesus made surety of a better testament. Amen. So thank God. God, you know, the Bible talks about two immutable things. Two immutable things. Now there's things that are established by the oath of Almighty God and that He will not change for no one, nowhere, no place, at no time. And I'm so happy that He will not change those two immutable things. And one of them I just told you. The Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. You know, when you're dealing with a testament or a covenant, there's a number of things that make it strong or weak. And two of the most important things are the priesthood of that covenant and the sacrifice of that covenant. That is what determines the strength of the covenant. Amen. Those are two major things. And I'm so thankful that in both areas, we've got the best sacrifice and we got the best priest there could ever be. Amen. Amen. We've got better promises. Amen. And I just thank God we have received better things. Amen. And so Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 through 15 says this. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Verse 10. We have an altar. Oh yes. We have an altar. Whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. We've got an altar, people. Amen. And that altar has got some good things on it that the Lord serves up for His people. Hey, Jesus said plainly, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and you drink His blood, you have no life in you. Amen. And that's what Jesus feeds to His people, whether you want to buy it or not. Amen. That is what He feeds. Amen. And that's what He's going to keep on feeding to His people. And that is the only place you're going to get life. Amen. It's just, you know, and it's a shame too. It's a shame when God's people stop eating at that altar. Amen. Why? It's just like the man in the wilderness, you know. Amen. God didn't change that manna for 40 years. It had everything that they needed to take them through that wilderness. And everything that we need is in the blood and in the body of Jesus Christ to take us through this thing. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. All we got to do is just stay sanctified. And that offering perfects us. It's got the blessing. It's got the cleansing. It's got the strength. It's got the power to bring us into His heavenly kingdom. It's got the spiritual strength to bring life. And it's all right there. And we do have an altar. I'm so thankful. Amen. I like that altar. I don't know about you, but there ain't just nothing like a good feast at the altar of God to bless your soul and to fill your spirit. And to strengthen your heart and establish it by the grace of God. It is a good thing, huh? That the heart be established with grace. It's good. You ought to feed your heart sometimes. Amen. You ought to feed your soul and your spirit. Amen. The Bible says, verse 10, we have an altar where they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hebrews chapter 4. You know, the Bible says, wherefore. I like that word, wherefore. That's used a lot in the Scripture. Amen. I preached a little bit on a few wherefores of the Bible. And I want to preach on another wherefore for a little bit. Wherefore, holy brethren. Amen. Wherefore, holy brethren. Amen. Yeah. Holy brethren. Amen. People that are holy before their God. Amen. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Yeah, the heavenly calling. Amen. Yeah, the heavenly, the invitation that come from heaven. Yes, it's coming from, hey, the Bible says, him that speaketh from heaven. Amen. The heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And that's what I want to do tonight. I want to consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. And, you know, it's amazing that sometimes we desire these earthly things when all you got to look in the Scripture is see there's such a better thing that God has in store for his people. I want to read a Scripture. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly country. Wherefore, another wherefore again, for this, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Remember, the heavens and the earth are going to pass away. I want to tell you something, that city is not going to pass away.
No.
Amen. Amen. I read in the Word of God that this heaven and this earth are going to pass away. But when there comes a new heaven and earth, new earth, that city is just going to drop on down. Amen. It's up there. Amen. It's way on high above the heavens. Amen. It's God's eternal dwelling place. And he has prepared for us a place in the midst of that city. Yeah, that's right. He's prepared. He's going to bring it on down. Some say, well, we're going to inherit the earth. Yeah, we're going to go out, but the earth is just going to be a field, people. Hey, but where I'm going to go back and dwell, where my home is, I'm going to go back into that city.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. It's just like now, there's a field out here. I go out in the day into the field, and I can consider it my inheritance, so to speak, but I come back in my home at night. Amen. I'm looking for a city that hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And that is my hope, and the Bible makes it clear. Amen. Oh yeah, we're going to go out and work on our inheritance. Amen. But I will come back to my home.
All right.
There is a city where the Lamb is the light. Yeah, that's where I'm going to be. Some say, you're crazy. That's all right. I'm happy crazy, so leave me alone. Hey, happy is the man whose God is the Lord. And God is my Lord. Hey, and that's his home. Hey, and I am no longer, amen, a stranger. I am of a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God. Yes, sir. That's right. And on this earth, I am a stranger and a pilgrim. And they who got such hope, they confess that they are. I'm confessing that I'm a stranger and a pilgrim here. Yeah, that's right. The Bible says that. I confess that I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. Amen. I'm looking for my home. Amen. Because you know why? Because I met the king. Amen. Why do you think Abraham would look for that city? He met the king. And he didn't ever see that city. He didn't know much about it as far as we can tell. But he met just the king for a very brief encounter. And that was enough to where he said, man, everything I'm going to do, I'm going to get that city. That's exactly right. He was willing to forsake all. Amen. And it's a shame that we're not willing to forsake all for God's kingdom.
Man, we lay hold on some of the pottage. Just like Brother Stair was saying, you think back when you were first, you would leave anything. Sure. Amen. We'd leave everything. Well, you know why? Because you glimpsed Jesus. When you saw Jesus, you knew whatever He is and wherever He's at and wherever He dwells, that is where you want to be, in His presence. Amen. And then after a while, you know, the old Laodicean spirit tries to get on us, and before you know it, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I want to read a scripture. All right, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 7. You know, does anybody see Him? Seeing that. Can you see that, what is going on there? Do you understand that before the coming of Jesus Christ, that the heavens were closed? God hid Himself, people. And I'm going to get into that a little bit, maybe the next. God hid Himself purposely. Purposely, He hid Himself. Yes, He did. He just flat out hid Himself. Hey, He said, I'm going to dwell in the thick darkness. And I'm going to get into a little bit, maybe the next message. But even when He dealt with Moses back then, He dwelt in the thick darkness. The Bible says that now. The Bible says that. And I'm going to get into that a little bit, Lord, but not tonight. He dwelt in the thick dark. But when He come and revealed Himself through Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible, that's exactly right. The Bible talks about the gospel. Amen. How the glorious light now shines. Amen. We see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Paul said there are things that were hidden from the foundation of the world that are now openly made known and manifested and declared. That's right. They were hidden. God purposely hid them. Amen. For His own purpose. In Acts chapter 7, I like what old Stephen saw. It's just a beautiful scripture. I just want to read it. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on Him with their teeth. You ever had anybody want to gnash on you? You ever seen that old gnashing spirit, boy? I have a few times. Amen. That old gnashing spirit. But He being full of the Holy Ghost. You know why you can't see what's in heaven? You ain't not full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the problem with a lot of people. They can't see why they're not full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You get filled with the Spirit, you'll start to see some of the things of heaven. That's exactly right. Amen. Stephen was being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they hated it. Listen to it. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon Him with one accord and cast Him out of the city and stoned Him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, I like this boy, he fell asleep. So you really believe that, Kurt? Yeah. I believe he just laid down his head and said, I think I'll take a nap for a while. I think I'll rest until my change comes. Yeah. I believe that. You know, the Bible tells me, I'm going to read a scripture, all righty. The Bible talks about the grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Saying, Kirk, you believe Jesus? I believe he abolished death. I believe that. I believe in the kingdom of God there is no death. Hey, Jesus flat out said, hey man, you all err. You don't know nothing about the resurrection. You don't know nothing about the word of God. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. See, in that. And I believe Jesus abolished death. That's why God's people just go to sleep. Amen. Hey, one of the apostles said, hey man, my Lord told me how to change my clothes. He said, all I'm going to do is I'm going to set down this house, and then I'm going to be clothed upon with a house from heaven. That's all it amounts to for a believer. That's the truth. Somebody said, you're crazy. No, that's the word of God. It is just there. See, in God's kingdom, in that New Jerusalem. See, the New Jerusalem is God's kingdom. And I'm going to get into it a little bit. That is God's kingdom. Everything from the kingdom of God in the kingdom of God flows from that place. Amen. It all comes from that. It flows right from there. And everything that flows from that, the kingdom of God, there is no death in God's kingdom. Amen. There is no sin in God's kingdom. There is no evil in God's kingdom. There is no wickedness. There will be no unclean thing whatsoever that's going to enter into that place. Nobody that makes a lie, nor a sorcerer, nor a dog. None of that's going to be, it's just not going to be there. Just not going to be permitted. Amen. Amen. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have rights to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without. Amen. Then he goes on and lifts them on down the line. And so in God's kingdom there is no death. If there's no darkness in the New Jerusalem, people. If you'll study out that city and how it's built, and the streets of gold, and clear as it is, and you look at the foundations of the precious stones. You know, if we had a foundation underneath that wall, and that wall was some kind of transparent material, you could be anywhere you wanted, but the light would just reflect through the jewels, and it'd come up the other side, and it'd be on the other side of the wall, and the other side of this wall, and the glory of God would fill it in every fraction of every inch. There ain't gonna be no darkness there. There ain't gonna be no night. Hey, there ain't going to be no place for no workers of iniquity to hide, so God just ain't going to let them in. Amen. Amen. There's just going to be nothing. It's going to be light, pure, everywhere. Pure. Pure. Pure light. Everywhere. Amen. The glory of God did lighten it. It's just going to be there. Amen. So there is no death. You know, the Bible says, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality. You know why he's got immortality? You know what immortality is? Immortality is not eternality. If he wanted to say eternal, he would have said eternal. All right. Eternal just means age after age after age. Basically keep on going on down. All right. But immortality is a little bit different. And because it's who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. You don't make something immortal? The inability for it to be corrupted or to be perishable. And you know there are certain things, if you seal them right, they will never perish. See? And God just has the ability. Amen. To seal. And thank God this corruption is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality and life. And when God seals that thing, it'll never, never, never corrupt. It's going to be eternal forever. It's going to be blessed. Amen. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be worth it all. The sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. There just ain't nothing. Whatever we got to give up, whatever we got to lose, amen, whatever we got to stand for, and whatever we got to stand against, amen, to make it into God's kingdom, it's worth it to get into God's kingdom. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 10. You know, there's going to be no brazen altar in heaven, people. There ain't going to be no brazen laver. Amen. Amen. There ain't going to be no more sacrifice for sin. No, they're not.
No.
They're just not going to be. Amen. You just don't see. You can open up the book of Revelation. You're going to find the golden altar. You're not going to find the brazen one. You're going to find the golden altar. Amen. You're going to find the prayer of the saints as the incense offering up to God. Amen. He talked about it in Hebrews, you know. The fruit of our lips continually. Amen. Giving thanks unto His name. The sacrifice of praise. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. You know why? Because God has definitively and definitely settled the issue of a sacrifice for sin. It is done. It is finished. And there will be no more sacrifice for sin. Amen. It's just been settled. It's totally settled. And if you can just, you know, the Bible warns you. Don't try to bring Christ down again. Now, if I can, I might get a little bit. Don't try to bring Christ down. You understand the only place there's going to be and has been a sacrifice for sin is on the earth. It's not going to be in heaven.
No.
It never will be. It was always relegated to the earth to be done. And don't try to bring Christ down again. The Bible warns. Now, I might get into that a little bit, but not tonight. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 9 says this. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He's talking about the covenants now. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Sounds pretty weak to me. Amen. See, you compare the old with the new. The old was just a poor boy on the block.
Yeah.
Amen. When the king's kid come around, the poor boy took off. Amen. That's what Paul said. You look up that word weak where he talked about weak. It means somebody poor. It's used in the New Testament scripture as poor. And there's somebody poor. Amen. When the grace and truth come in, one fold of it had his pockets full. Amen. Had his pockets full. The other one said, hey, you know, it's about time for me to move out of the way. Amen. He had sense. Amen. I'm going to get into that a little bit, Lord willing. Not tonight, maybe some other time. By the which, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9, just by one. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 25 through 28. Now I just want to read a couple of scriptures. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, I thought about when the other day when Brother Stair was mentioned about the man up there in Chattanooga needed a white face. I was thinking, you know what God needed? He needed a holy face. Amen. Amen. He looked around and just couldn't find a holy face. He said, I look around for somebody to make intercession. I wondered that there was no intercessor. He said, I just couldn't find none. Amen. See, and then verse 24, just go back. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heavens itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. God said, I need a holy face. Amen. And then the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now he's got a mediator. Now he's got a holy face. Amen. To accomplish his purpose and his work. Amen. And he made it by an oath. The Lord swear. and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to get into something here for a minute. I just want to read a few scriptures. Verse 11. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Have you ever studied something about the sacrifice of Christ? Because it was a sacrifice, you know. Yeah, that's right. He was a sacrifice. A willing sacrifice. An offering. Amen. Who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. In whom was no sin, neither was guile found in his lips. He was pure. He was holy. He was clean. Amen. And he was a sweet-smelling savior. Amen. The fragrance of that sacrifice came up and the Father said, this is good. This smells sweet. Do you know why it was so sweet-smelling? Because for years and years, every year, God would have to clean out a sewage tank, so to speak. And I'm going to get into that sometime. And all of a sudden, when he smelt the sweet-smelling Savior that took care of it all, oh, he was so pleased. Amen. And he was so happy. Now, you know, Jesus had to follow the path, as we just heard about it. You know, if you go back to Abraham, you know, God made an oath to Abraham, too, you know. Remember when Abraham was ready to offer up his son? First thing God said, Abraham, you're going to offer up your son. And you know, and God told him where. The Lord said, I want you to go to the land of Moriah. The land of Moriah. That's what he said. The land of Moriah. And so Abraham started going to the land of Moriah. And God said to him, man, I'll show you where to do it. And I'll show you the mount that you'll do it on. And so Abraham went, and when he got close, he looked, lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place. And then the Lord showed him the mountain that he wanted to do it. So then he went up, and he built the altar, and as he was getting ready to offer Isaac, then the Bible said the angel said, hey, stop. All righty, don't do it. Withdraw thy hand. All right? And then the Lord swore unto Abraham. The Bible says right there. He said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. Then the Lord gave him a promise, and at the end of it, God says, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Hey, that's right. And the Apostle Paul said in the book of Galatians, he said, hey, that seed is Jesus Christ. That seed is Jesus Christ. And those are the two immutable things, amen, that we have confidence, we have a foundation, we have a surety that by two immutable things in which God cannot lie, we should have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Now, it's based upon the oath of Almighty God who swear and will not repent. It will never be changed. Can't be changed. No reason to doubt. None whatsoever. An oath to confirmation is the end of all strife. There should be never a reason to doubt. Amen. The great high priest, Jesus Christ, and the offering of his blood and his body, that it has the ability to cleanse and to wash and to purge and to make holy, to make pure and to make clean. Amen. We should never doubt it. Never. 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 And he says, now, there's something about the offering that God showed to Abraham. It had to be on that mount. And if you go back in history, what happened is then that mount is where when the angel went through to destroy and was killing, when David numbered the people, an angel went through to destroy and was killing, he stopped at Ornan's threshing floor. Alrighty? And that's where David brought the threshing floor, and David then offered up a sacrifice. And you know what happened when he offered up that sacrifice on that floor? Anyone know what happened? How did God answer him? The Bible says, and God answered him by fire. Fire come out of heaven, consumed that sacrifice right on that altar. Yes, it did, right there. Yes, it did, right there. And then if you go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 3, Amen. It says when Solomon was building his temple, he built it on Mount Moriah, the same place where David had offered up the sacrifice on Ornan's thirst. That became the Temple Mount. Right? And that was Mount Moriah. Amen. That was the same place where Isaac, amen, was going to be offered up, and instead God took a ram. Amen. At that time. But God said, Abraham, you do it just, I'm going to show you exactly where to do it now. Exactly where to do it. It was that mount. Amen. And what happened when Solomon dedicated the temple? And the glory of the Lord filled. But what else happened? Amen. Then again, God answered by fire. And the burnt offering upon the altar, the fire from heaven came down and consumed it. Amen. God said, yeah, you're in the right place. Amen. Right time. All right. And then you go again. And that's with God's approval. God approves the sacrifice by fire.
All right.
Amen. It's the way God approves things. Hey, come on, Elijah, build the altar. God said, hey, Elijah, you're doing it right. Amen. And he said, why? He said, I'm going to show you. Amen. And prove it everybody. Why? Because he answered by fire. To prove that the altar was built right, the sacrifice was acceptable unto God. All right, then you come down to the offering of Jesus Christ. Amen. God's Lamb. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 53. You know, because of the pattern, I said, you know, Jesus must be offered up in that place. He's got to be. The offering up of Jesus Christ has got to take place in that city of Jerusalem. Upon that Mount of Moriah.
Okay.
And yet in Hebrews it says he suffered without the gate.
All right.
I mean, just as clear as a person can be, it just said, I just read it for y'all. But then you've got to look at what is the ultimate purpose. And we heard it tonight. Jesus Christ didn't shed his blood just to cleanse a body. It was to make the soul and the spirit of men clean. And I'm going to show that a little bit later. And therefore he had to do something that no other offering ever did. It's just as clear as can be. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. He says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul. Where did he travail now? In the garden. Amen. There's three places he travailed. And maybe more. But one was in the garden. We're going to turn to that in a minute. But he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. In other words, part of that offering was that thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he said in verse number 10. But thou shalt see the travail of his soul. Why? Because he's going to redeem the souls of men. He couldn't hold back nothing. Amen. It wasn't just the body that was broken. It was not just the blood that was shed. That was done indeed. But also was the travail of his soul. Every ounce of his being. Every fiber. Every thought. Every intention. Every desire of his heart. It was crucified in him. He laid it aside. He suffered everything. He was in all points tempted. Like as we are, yet without sin. His very soul was grieved. He says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And that began in the garden. And then the Bible says as he prayed, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly until his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And that started in the garden. So when he's in the garden, the drops of blood hit the ground. It dropped in that midst of that city. Amen. And then they led him to the high priest's palace, which was on the Temple Mount. And it was in the high priest's palace where they accused him and they humiliated him and they put a crown of thorn on his head and the blood spurted out from his head and dripped down. And they beat him later on in the governor's place, which is a little bit different. And so he walked from place to place with the blood dripping, dripping from the garden to the Temple Mount, to the Mount Moriah, to the governor's place. And then he made his soul an offering. He dripped his blood on that mount, just like God had showed Abraham in prophetic type was going to happen. He did it. That blood dripped on that mount. And then finally, when he had so emptied out himself, hey, God laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then he was taken outside of the city. And then he was put on the cross. Amen. But by the time he hit that cross, I want to tell you something. He had lost a lot of blood, people. I don't know. You ever seen somebody get brutally beaten or anything? Hey, come on. They brutally beat him. They beat him. They put a crown of thorns. They beat his back. They buffeted him. They smote him. They striked him. Amen. He lost a lot of blood by the time he got to that cross. Yes, he did. And it dripped right on that mount. And his soul was made it. Why? Because he came. You know, I'm going to read a scripture in a little bit, and I want to get to it in just a moment, all righty? But I want to read a scripture, another one. Psalms 104, verse 1. I want you to listen. You know what happened when Jesus was crucified? Do you realize they brought him right onto that mount? And they rejected that stone. The stone that the builders rejected. He was brought right before the high, and they rejected that stone. And that same has become the head of the corner of a new Jerusalem. He is the head of the corner of a new Jerusalem. Amen. That Jerusalem had their chance. And he was offered, and they blew it. And he is the head of the corner of a new Jerusalem. He is the chief cornerstone in that place. Yes. Amen. And they, hey, when they said, let his blood be on us. Amen. They were foolish. Foolish. The Lord forgave them just because of the prayer of Jesus. But it was still foolish.
Right.
Hey, you know what? I remember one time studying about innocent blood. The Lord said the land cannot be purged for the innocent blood, but by judgment. Hey, yes, it is. But by blood. And that did come. He may have forgiven them for crucified. You know what I'm saying? But they paid the price. Of course, you got to remember, what they were doing, they spilt a lot of innocent blood. The Bible talks about they may have been forgiven for it, but they were spilling all kinds of innocent blood. And God will not. Just like America, there's no doubt it's going to be destroyed. Why? There's just too much innocent blood. There's nothing that will change God's mind on that. Just won't do it. There's just too much innocent blood being shed. God will not change his mind on that. Amen. Judgment is going to come. Destruction is going to come. There's just no doubt about it. You know what happened when Jesus was crucified? He bare himself. You know, people, they'd wrap him up. He was just naked. They hung him to an open chain, people. They stripped him of his raiment. Amen. They just hung him up naked. He was humiliated. The Bible says in his humiliation, his judgment was. You know what God did? You understand when that temple read from the top to the bottom? You understand what God was doing, don't you? It was just like he was rending his clothes. You ever seen somebody rend their clothes? They don't go from the bottom to the top. They go right here and they go. And they rip it from the top to the bottom. That's how they rend their clothes. Amen. And when God did that, he rended his clothes and God revealed himself. Amen. Like he should not have had to reveal him. The Bible says that God is clothed with honor and with majesty. Yet when Jesus suffered on the cross, he was humiliated. The Bible says, in his humiliation, Acts 8 says, his judgment was taken away. The Bible says he endured the cross, suffering the shame. Amen. He was made bare. He was made naked. God is clothed with honor and majesty. The Bible says that Jesus was crucified through weakness. God was open. He bore himself. He ripped that cloth off, that all men could see the very weakness of God. And an evil generation despises the weak. And they despised him. And they spit on him. And they mocked him. And God said, even my weakness you're not going to overcome. I am going to triumph. Because the weakness of God is stronger than men. And the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the preaching of the gospel, which is foolishness, is still the power of God to them that believe it. Amen. It's just like death. Hey, death has no sting to them that believe it. If man don't believe it, it'll do him no good. But to the believer. Hey, John said, hey, these things are written unto you that believe. That ye might believe in the name of the Son of God, and that believing that you might receive life through his name. And it's there. You know, Hebrews chapter 6. You know, Jesus was glorified, people. Hey, I honestly believe, according to the type, according to the pattern, according to the prophecies, amen, when he come out of the grave, just like Joshua saw it in chapter 3, I believe that. I believe he ascended on up, and I believe he was laden. I believe he was laden. I believe he was laden. I believe he ascended up on high. If you understand the working of the high priest, he had to keep on the same garments until he had went into the holy place to make an atonement. He could, once he started that offering process, he could not change garments until he was done. Couldn't do it. And the pattern's there. The type is there. And so Jesus ascended up on high. And just like Hosea, and when he did what he had to do, amen, and he sprinkled his blood, amen, and he sanctified everything, the Bible says the things in heaven are purified with better sacrifices than the natural. It was the blood of Jesus that was sprinkled. It was sprinkled upon that golden altar, sprinkled on everything. Amen, that's right. Hey, the Bible said we come to a covenant with the blood of sprinkling. And I believe that. And then after he fulfilled that, amen, after he fulfilled that, he received a change of reign. And you can read Acts chapter 2, it's very clear. It says, the same Jesus God hath made both Lord and Christ. He clothed him with royal majesty and honor and power. Amen. And Jesus said, I have received a kingdom. And now, that's why the Holy Ghost was never given until Jesus was glorified. He prophesied of it, and then it says, but the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But when he was glorified and the offering was perfectly acceptable, amen, then when you see on the day of Pentecost, you see a rushing mighty wind and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there were cloven tongues like as a fire. Amen. It sat upon each of them and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And that was a promise that God had promised to Abraham. And that upon his seed, and Paul made it clear, he said that promise brings righteousness to us. Because we have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that was the fire of God poured out on Pentecost. And that was the Almighty God saying, this sacrifice is acceptable unto me. I believe it. I receive it. Yes, he did. And that is the promise. If you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? And that is God's witness when he answered by fire on the day of Pentecost that the sacrifice was acceptable. Hebrews chapter 6. You know, I never had did a righteous deed in my life that I could really say was righteous. Actually righteous before I knew God. I really can. I was unrighteous. Hey, come on, evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. I made it did something that appeared good. You know one of the most diabolical things? Amen. In a certain aspect are a bunch of rules and regulations. Hey, rules and regulations, an evil man can appear righteous. Yes, he can. Hey, come on, look at the scribes and Pharisees, man. They appeared just to hate you. He said, you appear righteous indeed unto men. Indeed now. He didn't say you're righteous halfway. He said righteous indeed now. He said, but oh, within. Oh, within. You see, you know, they accused Paul of saying we should continue in sin that grace may abound. You know why? Because Paul was such a powerful grace preacher. But Paul knew something they didn't. He knew that when you get the true grace of God, you're not even going to get close to sin. Not, let alone not in the outward, but not in your thought, not in your desire, not in your tent. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, He's not going to let get you away with nothing. I remember a while ago, I just kind of praying. And the Lord said, you know why people want men to rule over them, they don't want me to rule over them? You know, because that's always been the issue. Hey, come on, way back today, Sam, they don't want God. You know why today people don't want Jesus to rule over them? They'd rather have some man, some organization. I'll tell you the truth, why? Hey, because Jesus goes to bed with you.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus is with you all time in every place. Amen. Yeah, every thought. And He is faithful, I guarantee it. Just one little thought off the mark, boy, boom, it's there. One little tension that's not right, boom, it's there. Hey, come on, men can only do so much no matter what. They're limited, you know what I'm saying? But hey, the Holy Ghost is so faithful. He will settle for nothing less than 100% purity and holiness and perfection. See, no, people say, nah, let's do the little denomination, you know what I'm saying? Let's have a little group, let's have a little... No, don't let the Holy Ghost rule. Don't let Jesus Christ be the head. We don't want His Spirit ministering in the midst of the church. Oh, they've kicked the Spirit of God out all over. Yeah. Hey, this church world out there, dead people. It's dead and it's gone. Hebrews chapter 6. Amen. That's right. Hey, the thing about it, the Holy Ghost can do it any way He wants. He can take the preacher, use the preacher. That's right. He can take the ministry and use the ministry. He can speak to you on your bed in a dream or a vision. He can speak to you in your heart. He can use any way He wants. Amen. He uses them all. He is faithful. He is faithful. And people just don't like that. Hey, they don't like Holy Ghost preachers now. They don't mind preachers. Hey, I remember Holy Ghost preachers. There was just something about being around Holy Ghost preachers. Man, I remember, man, and even then, you could sense it. When preaching by the Holy Ghost, boy, you can feel the searching of God. And see, that's what Brother Stairs mentioned. They don't like Holy Ghost preaching no more. And they don't even like preachers no more. They just like teachers. They like teachers. They don't want to deal with the sin question. They don't want to deal with evil in the heart of God's people. And yet God's going to have a pure people. Nothing unclean is going to enter that city. Nothing unclean. Just not going to do it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 20. Whither the forerunner is for us entered. You know what a forerunner is? Yeah, we had a few forerunners around here. A forerunner is a scout. Yeah, it's somebody's scout. Hey, when an army goes out to do something, they send out their scout. When they're preparing a campaign or a battle, they send out their scout. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like a spy, whatever you want to say. I've did scouting before.
Sure.
Yeah. When I went over to England, I was just a scout.
Sure.
That's right. I was preparing the way for somebody.
Sure.
I was preparing the way for a battle. Amen. I was just scouting out the land. Just trying to find a few places for this and that. That's right. That's right. And Jesus was a forerunner, and He went into heaven. Amen. Jesus made after high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then chapter 7, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is what? King of peace. Now, verse 12 says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek?
Right.
There was no need if there was perfection. But they could never make nobody perfect. And that's what Paul said. He said, therefore, verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there's made a necessity, a change also of the law. And God said, hey, I've got a high priest now that's going to bring perfection. His number one thing, he's going to make men perfect.
Right.
Perfect.
Yes.
Amen. The Bible says he's going to make them perfect.
Yeah.
Amen. Nothing else. And therefore, because of this high priest who's going to make men perfect, I've got to change some things. Amen. Why? Because I'm not dealing with natural perfection. I'm dealing with spiritual perfection. And I'm going to show that a little. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 8. Verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who has sat. We have such an high priest who has sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. And there is not no brazen altar up there, people. There's a golden altar. Amen. And he's after the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek didn't slay no animals, didn't do nothing. Melchizedek did one thing. He brought forth bread and wine and he blessed. Amen. And Jesus' blood has already been received. And Jesus has already received his kingdom. And he's already sat down on his throne. And he's a priest upon his throne. Amen. And he brings forth bread and wine. He brings forth his body and his blood. And if you don't want to eat that, you'll have no eternal life. And if you're not satisfied with that, you forget about it. There's nothing else he's going to offer you. There just is nothing else. If you cannot get your strength from the offering of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, there is no more offering for sin. You see, we can keep going deeper in the offering of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. The breath. Paul said the unsearchable riches of Christ. You need something more, it's there. It's like a mother load. Amen. You know what a mother load is? Amen. The Jerusalem above is like a mother load. Amen. You know what a mother load is? A mother load's when you're mining. Amen. And you'll be out somewhere and you'll just get a little vein here and you get a little vein there. And you got to do a lot of work and you just get a little bit out of it. But all of a sudden you get a mother load. And that mother load is a vein that's just solid. Amen. And you can dig and dig. And it's just silver or gold or diamonds or whatever you're digging. It's just loaded and loaded and loaded and loaded. Amen. We got a mother load that's never been around. Amen. You can't find the breadth of it. You can't find the height of it. You can't find the length of it. And you can't find the depth of it. And the Bible says the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's there. I've got a mother load. Jerusalem, which is above, is my mother. And I've been digging at it for 18 or 19 years. Almost 20 years now. My God, and I've never even come close to getting the end of it. Every time I dig another spadeful, it just comes up diamonds and gold and silver and precious, precious, precious things. And I dig and dig. I'm still getting more. And I ain't even hit the side of it yet. And I ain't hit the height of it. And I ain't the bottom or the end. You know, usually when you get a mother load, you hit a side here or there. The vein may go back a half mile or a quarter mile. Hey, we got a vein. We got a river never runs dry. Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We got a river. Amen. That never runs dry. Amen. He that is athirst, let him drink. We was talking about the other day, people no longer, you know why? And we was talking about it and it dawned. People want to drink with their mind. They want to drink with their intellectual head. And you're not going to drink at this fountain. Amen. You're going to drink with your spirit. Amen. You're going to have to drink through your spirit. You're going to have to drink by the spirit. You're going to have to drink in your spirit. And unless you are willing to do that, you're going to get nothing. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 12. And I'm going to stop with this scripture. You know, Jesus has a scepter. Yeah, he does. You know what a scepter is? It's kind of like a rod. Remember the scepter Ahasuerus or whoever had it? Yeah, with Esther. The king had the scepter. Jesus got a scepter now. You know what he does with the scepter? Remember the high priest type. They take their scepter. They didn't call it a scepter. They called it hyssop with some other thing. But Jesus got a scepter now. And the scepter of his kingdom is what? A righteous scepter. He says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And so when some poor sinner or some saint who has fallen comes to Jesus, you know what he does? He stretches out. But I believe he also puts a little blood there, dips it on the end, and just... He just puts a little blood of sprinkling. And oh, if just one drop touches you. Hey, remember when Moses took that and he sprinkled on all the people? Hey, just the drops just went out. One person might have got a one drop. One might, if just a drop touches, you're sanctified. You're sanctified. Amen. And when he puts a scepter out, he declares you righteous. Hey, when I repented, amen, the Lord stretched out his scepter. I never did a righteous deed in my life. Really, and honestly, from a righteous, pure heart. I mean, I did things that people had said probably was good, but really honest, righteous? No, because I was unrighteous. Amen. But when he called out that scepter, I was just as righteous as could ever be. Hey, the Bible, David describeth, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And that's exactly what had happened. And when I come, he imputed no sin to me, and he held out his scepter, and he said, I declare you righteous. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. Well, that's all right. I believe it. And with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I'm going to keep on confessing it. Amen. Until my salvation, which is near. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to just stop with this scripture. All I want to say is there is a mother load, people. There is a mother load. Amen. Come on. Even Apostle Paul, he couldn't hit the depths of it. He couldn't do it. Hey, man. And you want to talk about a man that ever dug? Hey, you know, mining is hard work. Mining is not get rich quick. It really isn't. We got that. But mining is hard work. It is. Mining is some of the hardest work there is. True mining. Hey, come on. I know some people that were miners. Okay. And mining. Yeah. Amen. Miners. Amen. Miners. Some coal miner. I knew a coal miner. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Make most of us just look like the biggest man in here and probably the strongest man in here. Pick you up and throw you around. You know what I'm saying? I mean, really, even when he was 60 now, even when he's 50-something, still very, very. That's right. They were strong men, true miners. And Paul mined for many years at this mine. And he still said, hey, you know, I still ain't found the end of this thing. It's still unsearchable. I've been searching and searching and searching. All the prophets were looking, searching. What manner of time the Spirit which is in them did testify. When it testified before of the sufferings of Christ and of the glory, they could never quite find the end of it. And even now we see through a glass darkly. Amen. But there is a mind. I just don't be discouraged. Amen. If you're not getting too many pickings, you just may be outside of the mother load. Get back over to the mother load and you'll get some. Granted, the digging's harder now. I understand that. I know there's no doubt the digging is harder. Amen. Because the heat is a little bit hotter. Because as you get a little deeper, amen, in mine shafts, it gets hot. Amen. You can't work for such a long... Hey, them diamond mines that go down in South Africa, they go way on down. Amen. And the mines that were out in Nevada that went so far down, amen, the men at the top could work for 2-3 hours. They got down far enough they could only work for half an hour at a shop because it started getting hot. Amen. But there was just as much treasure down there, just as much. The vein was just as rich. And I'm just saying, hey, it's getting hotter. The work's getting a little harder. But I'm saying, hey, the vein is still just as rich. It's just as rich. It's going to take more labor, though, to get it out. But it's in Hebrews chapter number 12. For ye are not, verse 18. For ye are not. Anybody understand not? N-O-T. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched.
and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. And there is a reason why. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Paul said, whoever wrote Hebrews, and I believe it was Paul because of the way he talked about Timothy at the end. He said, you're not come to that mountain. You are not. N-O-T. You are not. Amen. You know, the Holy Ghost uses road signs. He uses yield. Yield your members as instruments of righteousness. Amen. Unto holiness. He uses not, another stop. Do not enter. Amen. Our road closed. Yeah, he uses road signs. And he says, you are not. This road God has closed to you. Hey, not is not, people. And then he says in verse number 22, but ye are come. Enter. Amen. The entrance ramp. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. If we ever needed an innumerable company of angels.
Right.
We need them now, people.
Now.
It ain't no time to go back. If we ever needed a numeral couple of angels, we need them now. Amen. If there's ever a time where we needed the General Assembly, to the General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn, do you understand what that means? That means the General Assembly. That means we're raised up and sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means we can assemble right up there and we can get the counsel and the wisdom and the understanding and the might of God. That means the Holy Spirit can speak to us and reveal things. Amen. That's right. If we ever needed that, we need that now. We need that now. Which are written in heaven and to God, the judge of all. If we need God, if we ever need the judgment of God, we need it now. Yes, we do. We need judgment. Yes, we need judgment and judgment. We need it now. We need it now. If we never need it, we need it now. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. And we ever needed our spirit to be perfect. We need it to be perfect now. We need to serve the Lord with a perfect heart. We need to be perfect in our generation. And that's why I'm saying Jesus is a better. Why? Because the spirit must be perfect. Amen. A man could get away with certain things before that. There's no way in this new covenant he's going to get away. And why? Because it's the very spirit that Jesus is saying it must be perfect. Not just the deed, not just the act, but every thought and every intention of the heart must be pure and right. And therefore the spirits of just men made perfect. And he said, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. If we ever need a mediator, we need it now. Amen. If we ever needed one to hold out his hand and to bring us into his kingdom. If we ever needed one to put his blessing upon us, we need it now. If we ever needed somebody to sprinkle his blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel, we need it now. My prayer is God will sprinkle the blood of every saint of God. My prayer is God will sprinkle every child in this place that the blood of sprinkling would touch every child and cover them and sanctify them and that an angel of God would camp round about them. Amen. That every messenger of darkness would be pushed back. That every power of hell would not be able to touch the saints of the living God. That the Almighty God would send His holy angel with us and before us and encamp round about us and deliver us from all evil. That no evil would befall us. That no plague would draw nigh our dwelling place. That the angel of God would keep us. If we ever needed it, we need it now. And I believe the Lord wants to have it. He wants us to have it. And all I want to say is we do have some blessings. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. No matter what we suffer in the flesh, no matter what trials, no matter what tribulations, no matter what comes against us, we are still blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the Lord will make us perfect. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant make you perfect in every good work to do His will. And I believe because of the glory of the new that He can make perfect and His requirement and the standard of His judgment is perfection. There is no way a person can get anything less. God is requiring the spirits of just men made perfect. And thanks be to God. Through the blood, it is yea, and it is amen.